Everybody good and Jay Henson here for Out of Bounds. Hey, hope everybody's having a great work week. Got a really good show here today to talk about with the playoffs, and got the championship games coming up next week, or actually this coming Sunday, and talk a little bit of the Grizzlies, Predators, of course, college basketball, and before too long, we'll be having, you know, I may be the only podcast that'll be talking about it, but I will have info on the Alliance of American Football, the AAF. So we'll get to talk a little bit about that once we get into that season, which starts, I believe, the week after the Super Bowl. So that should be a lot of fun coming up during the spring. Of course, baseball season's just around the corner. Vanderbilt baseball starts February 15th. So we're just 1 month away from baseball season. But right now, talk a little foosball. Chiefs and Colts. Chiefs won 31-13 for their first win at home in a home playoff game since 1994. Who was their quarterback? Give you a hint. Joe Montana. Kansas City Chiefs defense had heard the chorus of critics all season long. The ones that claimed their soft line and shaky backfield would spoil young superstar Patrick Mahomes, cost them a chance to chase their first Super Bowl appearance in decades. Well, that defense, you know, was a huge reason as to why the Chiefs won. They're now one step away from the Super Bowl at 14-3, with a persistent snow turning Arrowhead Stadium into a winter wonderland. The Chiefs successfully shut down Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts on Saturday. Mahomes and the rest of their own high-powered offense took care of the rest, rolling to a 31-13 victory in the divisional round to end 25 years of playoff frustration. Gosh, you just know everybody in Arrowhead Stadium was going nuts. I mean, it's been since I was 1.5 years old. I mean, come on. Give me a break. But, no, it was a great ball game. I mean, it was a good game to start off. You kind of thought, well, maybe the Colts can hang around, but the Chiefs just kept on, and turnovers were a little bit too much for the Colts. But either way, Damon Williams ran through snow and muck for 129 yards and another score. Tyreek Hill had 72 yards receiving and a touchdown run. And, you know, Chiefs won for the first time in 5 playoff meetings against the Colts to earn their first AFC title game appearance since January of 94, which was the last time they won their home playoff game. The AFC West champions will now play the New England Patriots on Sunday for a spot in Super Bowl 53 in the ATL. So, got a good game coming up next week between New England and Kansas City. Be a rematch of Week 4's ball game, which was a 43-40 win for the Patriots over the Chiefs. In a very, I mean, that was almost a, you know, we got the GOAT versus the kid. So we got a little bit of everything going on with that one. So should be a good game. Now on to the second game on Saturday. It was the Rams and the Cowboys. Rams won 30-22, even though the Cowboys had a good chance of getting the win. But with 1 yard between the L.A. Rams and the Dallas end zone on fourth down midway through the fourth quarter, Sean McVay decided to go straight ahead. No clever plays for his high-flying offense. No elaborate schemes from their inventive coach. C.J. Anderson ran directly into the left side while his line cleared a path. He tumbled into the end zone with 7:16 left for the Rams' final points in their first playoff victory in 14 years. And, of course, that was back when they were the St. Louis Rams, and sometimes I kind of wish they were still in St. Louis. But anyway, now St. Louis has an XFL team. LA's ground game is something to be feared after racking up a franchise playoff record of 273 yards rushing from the opening drive to Anderson's final first down run. Anderson rushed for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. Todd Gurley ran for 115 yards and another touchdown to send the second-seeded Rams, who are 14-3, to the NFC Championship game for the first time in 17 years. That's also the most ever allowed in the postseason by the 5-time Super Bowl champion Cowboys, who are playing in their NFL record 63rd postseason game. Next weekend, Rams will face the top-seeded New Orleans Saints in the Big Easy for a chance at a trip at Super Bowl 53. Now that one will really be good. You got the Rams, you got the Saints, two offenses that are really good. But it's kind of like what I said on Johnny's show yesterday during our Monday reaction. The Saints averaged 34 points a game in their first 11 games, over 350 some odd yards of offense. Well, in their last six games, they're only averaging about 19 points per game and only about 270-ish yards of total offense. So, I mean, that's a little bit of a concern if you're a Saints fan. But, hey, their defense is still getting it done. They're still the number one team in the NFL in that department. So, I think they'll be just fine, especially since it's going to be at home at the Superdome. Place is going to be rocking just like it was on Saturday. Sunday. And should be a lot of fun coming up on this coming Sunday. Talk a little Patriots-Chargers. Everybody thought the Chargers would win. Well, the Patriots thought otherwise. Sonny Michel ran for 129 yards, had three touchdowns, and Patriots beat the LA Chargers 41-28 in the divisional playoffs on Sunday to earn their eighth straight trip to the AFC Championship game. Let me repeat, their eighth straight championship game. Can you say Boston and New England is a little bit spoiled? I think so. New England will now play at Kansas City, and it's supposed to be cold. It's going to be like -5 or something. It might be the coldest game in Kansas City, Arrowhead Stadium history. So, if you're going to go to that game, you better take a heater with you. I don't know what else to tell you. That's going to be something. I mean, they're having a snowmageddon up there right now anyway. So, it's going to be tough, but both teams are used to it, so it should be a lot of fun. So, we'll see. Hopefully, no deflate gate and no footballs are going to be deflated in this one. But either way, the Patriots beat the Chiefs 43-40 in Foxborough in Week 6. I apologize, in Week 6. Patriots finished 9-0 at home this season. Of course, there are no more home games for them the rest of the year. It's the 13th conference championship game appearance by the Patriots during the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era. So only five times in 18 years have the Patriots not been in the AFC championship game with Brady and Belichick as the main guys. Chargers, haven't reached the AFC title game since the 2007 season. Quarterback Phillip Rivers finished 25-51 for 331 yards, three touchdowns, and an interception. He's 0-5 in games played in Foxborough, including 0-3 in the postseason. Brady finished 34-44 for 343 yards and a touchdown. He improves to 8-0 as a starter against Rivers, who drops to 1-8 against New England all time. James White tied Darryl Sproles' NFL postseason record with 15 catches, totaling 97 yards. So, you talk about the Patriots, they were banged up. They were, their defense was in the mid, in the upper 20s, middle of the pack, and sometimes the lower of the pack, depending on what you're talking about for the defense. But you just knew Tom Brady would come back, and there he was. He's there at the end once again. So if you want to get to the Super Bowl, Chiefs are going to have to beat the GOAT. It's as simple as that. You got to beat the GOAT. And I think Patrick Mahomes and them can get it done, but we'll see here in just a little bit. But the Saints beat the Eagles 20-14 in a slobber knocker of a ball game down in New Orleans. When New Orleans finally found their rhythm, they marched one step closer to the Super Bowl using a dominant ball control offense and a few gambles that paid off. The Saints got two touchdown passes from Drew Brees and two interceptions from Marcus Lattimore in a 20-14 victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. Brees took the Saints on scoring drives of 92, 79, and 67 yards after falling behind 14-0. Lattimore clinched it when Foles' pass from the Saints 27 deflected off usually sure-handed receiver Alshon Jeffrey with about 2 minutes remaining. A couple dozen Saints players surged off the sideline toward the end zone in celebration, while Jeffrey fell face first to the turf in agony. New Orleans will host the NFC title game next Sunday against the Rams. LA, which fell 45-35 at the Superdome in November, will try again next week, with the winner going to the Super Bowl. The Saints' win finished off a sweep of the divisional round by teams coming off byes. Will Lutz added two field goals for the Saints, who last got this far in 2009, when, of course, they won their only Super Bowl. Philadelphia will not repeat as NFL champion. No team has done so since the 04 Patriots. So, a little info, a little history lesson for you there. Now, in the NFL playoffs, I'm 3-1, or I went 3-1 last week, rather. And 49-24 overall when it comes to the NFL this season. So that's a 67%. Not too shabby. In the NFC Championship game, Rams at the Saints. I got the Saints marching on with Drew Brees and Earl Thomas in that offense and plus the defense over the Rams. And in the AFC Championship game, sorry, Patrick Mahomes, I think you're going to be there more often than not. But I feel like Tom Brady and them will get it done. And it'll be the Saints and Pats in Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta on February, I believe it's the 3rd. Yes. So, be a good ball game. We all know there's going to be tons of parties this weekend watching these games. So, everybody just be out there and be careful. And I'll talk more of the a little bit of pregame Friday's show. Talk a little college basketball now. Talk a little Lipscomb, Vandy, Tennessee. For Tennessee, Grant Williams did just about anything he wanted to against Florida on Saturday. He even called for and delivered one of his most precise passes of the season in crunch time. Williams scored 20 points and found Admiral Schofield for a clinching three-pointer in the corner with 41 seconds remaining to help number 3 Tennessee, who are now 14-1, 3-0 in the SEC, beat Florida 78-67 on Saturday for the team's 10th consecutive win. Jalen Hudson misfired on the other end, and the Gators are now 9-6, 1-2 in the SEC, committed two turnovers in the waning seconds to turn a one-possession game into a lopsided final score. Jordan Bolden added 17 off the bench for the Vols, which last enjoyed a double-digit win streak in 2008. Bolden accounted for 14 consecutive points late in the second half with Schofield on the bench with 4 fouls. He made 5 free throws, 5 driving layups, and a 3-pointer. He also dished to John Fulkerson for another layup, equally huge for the Vols, for 2 second-half buckets that each came after 2 offensive rebounds. Williams scored on both. Williams made 8 of 11 shots to go along with 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks, and 2 steals. The Vols have won 5 straight true road games, a clear sign of their talent and depth. I mean, if there's one team in this country, and this includes Duke, that you don't want to play right now are the Vols of Tennessee. So, you know, good luck playing them, especially if you go to Thompson Bowling. That place has been rocking all season long, and this team is experienced. They have a bunch of – I mean, they got about everybody on that roster, out of the 15 or however many's on it that dress out, they can flat-out shoot and they can flat-out guard you. So good luck if you're trying to go up against Tennessee. Vols have now won 5 straight true road games, a clear sign, like I said, of their depth. Tennessee begins a 2-game homestand against the Arkansas Razorbacks tonight, starting at 6 on ESPN2. Talk a little Vanderbilt basketball now. You know, Vandy struggling right now. They're 9-6, 0-3 in the SEC. Vandy seemed close to upsetting number 18 Kentucky at Rupp on Saturday, a position the Commodores have known well in recent years. That is, until the second-half slump buried Vanderbilt in a 56-47 loss. Vanderbilt sizzled at the start but steadily cooled off to drop its record to 9-6 and 0-3. The Commodores led 30-28 at the half, but they scored only 17 points and shot 6 of 25, which is 24%, from the field in a lackluster second half. In the game, they were out-rebounded 38-21. Vandy dropped to 2-40 all-time at Rupp Arena, and it continued its recent trend of close losses here. Since beating Kentucky in back-to-back trips to Rupp Arena in 06 and 07, the Commodores have suffered 8 single-digit losses on the Wildcats' home court. Kentucky, now 12-3, 2-1 in the SEC, started the second half with a 7-0 spurt and never relinquished the lead. Aaron Nesmith led Vandy with 11 points. Vandy will play its next 4 SEC games at home, and the Commodores host South Carolina tomorrow at 6, Mississippi State on Saturday at 7:30, then they host Tennessee next Wednesday, and then Kentucky will come to town on January the 29th. And now, you know, talk a little Lipscomb basketball. Got to give a little love to the men down in southern Nashville. Garrison Matthews became Lipscomb's NCAA Division I era all-time leading scorer in the Bison's win over Stetson on Saturday. The senior from Franklin scored 20 points, giving him 2006 for his career. He passed Adnan Hodzik, who was at Lipscomb from 07 to 11, who had 2,002 points. Lipscomb won 95-71 at Allen Arena to improve to 12-4 and stay in perfect at 3-0 in the Atlantic Sun. Matthews became the ninth player in Atlantic Sun Conference history to score 2,000 points. Willie Jackson from Centenary from 82 to 84 is the conference's all-time leading scorer with 2,535 points. The scored record wasn't the only record Matthews set in the game. With his first shot, he hit a three-pointer from the left wing, which made him Lipscomb's NCAA Division I era career leader in threes with 283. He made two more threes, giving him 285 for his career and moved him to eighth on the Atlantic Sun all-time three-point list. Lipscomb will travel to New Jersey to take on the New Jersey Institute of Technology Highlanders, who are 13-4, 1-1 in the conference, tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And try to get a little update on some high school stuff. Got some teams in the mid-state and even in the Nashville area that are getting some votes when it comes to the Associated Press. We'll start with the girls here. In AAA, Riverdale is number one in the state, followed by Maryville, Bradley Central, Houston, Oak Ridge, Morristown West, Bearden, Blackman, Mount Juliet, and Campbell County, and White County is receiving votes. In AA, the East Nashville Lady Eagles are number one in the state, Macon County, Upperman, Meigs County, Cumberland County, South Green, Jackson Southside, Cheatham County, just west of here, Westview, and Granger are all in the top 10, followed by Crockett County and Marshall County are receiving votes. And in Class 1A, Gibson County, Greenfield, Summertown, and Lawrence County, Clark Range, Loretta, and Southern Lawrence County, Teleco Plains, Pickett County, Gleason, Clay County, Cosby, Cascade, and Trinity, and then you got North Green and Richland all getting votes. Ensworth is number one in the state in Division II AA, just down the road on 100. And Brentwood Academy is number two, followed by Father Ryan, Pope John Paul II, and St. Agnes. Harpeth Hall and Baylor are receiving votes. And in Division II Single A, Good Pasture is number one in the state in girls, followed by USJ out of Jackson, Hardin Academy, Providence Christian, and Clarksville Academy. Knoxville Christian, North Point, and Chattanooga Christian all receiving votes in the first girls' poll of the season. And for the boys, if I can find it on here, they have some pretty good teams in here as well. Memphis East, as everybody knows, number one team in the state, followed by Bartlett, Mount Juliet, just up the road. They're number three. Maryville's fourth. Then you got Bearden, East Hamilton, Walker Valley, Franklin, just down the road, of course, Cleveland and Whitehaven, Riverdale, Knoxville Catholic, and Dobbins-Bennett all getting votes. In Class AA, the East Nashville Eagles boys team is number one in AA, followed by Loudoun, Wooddale, Jackson Southside, Sweetwater, Austin East, Fulton, Raleigh Egypt, Fairview, and Cheatham, Williamson County, and South Gibson. Then you got Covington, Tyner, Elizabethton, and Haywood all receiving votes. And in Class 1A, Eagleville out of Rutherford County, Humboldt, Clay County, Columbia Academy, Summertown, Fayetteville, Peabody, Westwood, McKenzie, and Wayne County all in the top 10. And then University School in Johnson City and Hancock County all receiving votes. And Division II AA, you got Baylor out of Chattanooga, Briarcrest out of Memphis, Brentwood Academy is number three in the poll, McCauley out of Chattanooga is fourth, and Christian Brothers is fifth with Ensworth receiving votes. And in Class AA, Division II Single A, Good Pasture is number one, Knoxville Webb second, Chattanooga Christian third, North Point fourth, and Harding Academy fifth, with Boyd Buchanan, Sacred Heart, and Lausanne all receiving votes. So that's a little quick update for some high school hoops going on around the area. I'll have more on that in the coming episodes. But I just want to give a little shout-out to those teams that got in the poll yesterday. It was the first poll of the season. Talk a little NBA action now. A little Grizz. On Saturday, Justice Winslow scored 26 points. Dwayne Wade delivered the block and won the ensuing jump ball with 4 seconds left. And the Miami Heat defeated the Grizzlies 112-108. Jamichael Green scored 24 points and grabbed 11 rebounds for the Grizzlies, who went 0-2 this season against Miami, losing the two games by a total of 7 points. Mike Conley scored 22, and Mark Gasol had 15. James Harden, what a game he had last night against the Grizz. Scored a season-high 57 points. He had 36 at the half to carry the shorthanded Houston Rockets to a 112-94 win over the Grizz on Monday. He extended his streak of 30-point games to 17, and folks, like I said, he had 36 at the half. He did that in a half. That's ridiculous. It's the longest such streak since Wilt Chamberlain had 20 straight games of at least 30 points in 1964. That was before the three-point line. Garrett Temple and Mike Conley scored 14 each for the Grizzlies, who lost for the 8th time in 9 games. The Grizzlies, 19-24, will now host the Milwaukee Bucks, who are 30-12, tomorrow night at 7 at the FedEx Forum, as we'll have all the play-by-play action right here on Nashville Sports Radio, 560 AM and 95.9 FM, as we'll have pregame at 6:30. A little update on the Southwest Division. Houston Rockets are still leading the way at 25-18. San Antonio's one game back at 25-20. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Dallas Mavericks tied for third at 20-23 and 5 games back, and Memphis in the rear at 19-24 and 6 games back in the Southwest Division. Now, last but not least, talk a little Preds NHL action. They're back in action tonight. We will have Prednik Nation starting at 6 o'clock right here on the WNSR network, and have it on 560 AM and 95.9 FM. I'll talk more about that here in a minute. But talk a little bit about the last game for the Predators. They played at Carolina on Sunday, losing 6-3 as Philip Forsberg scored twice, but it just wasn't enough. The result concludes a season-long six-game road trip and sees Nashville's seven-game point streak come to an end. Sunday's loss will also serve as fuel for the sore subject that is Nashville's underwhelming special teams play this season, as Carolina went 2-for-5 on the power play and scored shorthanded, and Nashville went 0-for-5 and scored once while a man down. Carolina was up 2-0 after one period of play, courtesy of goals from Aho and in the 2013 Preds draft selection, Saku Milaninen, but Colton Sensen's cut the lead in half early in the second to score his 10th goal of the season to set a career high. However, just 20 seconds later, Aho got his second of the day, and then Carolina added their fourth and fifth before Roman Josi found Forsberg while shorthanded to give the Preds a bit of life before the period came to a close. Forsberg continued his highlight reel return to the Nashville lineup with 6:27 to go in the game when he put in a puck with a shot between his legs. I don't know how he does some of these shots, but that was as close as the Preds came to stage what would have been a comeback for the ages. With the six-game road trip finally complete, the Preds will be more than happy to play in their own building tonight as they'll take on the Washington Capitals at 7. Little Central Division action, division standings. Winnipeg, 60 points. Nashville's 2 points behind them at 58. The Stars have 50, so do the Avalanche. They're tied for third. And then you got the Minnesota Wild at 47, the Blues at 44, and the Chicago Blackhawks at 41. All this and more tonight. Tune in right after the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. We will have the show from 4 to 6, and then once 6 starts, we will have Prednik Nation. Look up Prednik Nation on Twitter and at Prednik Nation on Twitter, or go to Facebook, like them, and just find Prednik Nation or Prednik Nation Radio. And or go to prednicknation.com, get you some merch, get you some hats, a nice t-shirt, you know, maybe even a pillow, you know, all that good stuff. There's some good stuff in the merch, I'm just telling you right now. You know, join my dude, Captain Crazy Charlie Sonnier, and the Renegades of Puck, featuring the Ultimate Predator, the man so far in the future, Greg Mostradamus Machopoulos, and Brandon Felder, as they bring you everything you need to know about the Preds on game days from 5 to 6 each morning, and like tonight, from 6 to 7 on game days after the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. As, you know, we love to, you know, to spread the love a little bit for everybody here at WNSR. And, you know, they do an excellent job as Predneck Nation. So give them a follow, give them a like, and I'm sure they'll enjoy it. And I know you'll enjoy their show. Hopefully you enjoyed mine here today. Follow me on Twitter at Jay Henson Sports, or go to Facebook and look up Jay Henson. Hope everybody has a great week. See everybody on Friday for another edition of Out of Bounds. See you later, guys.